You're listening to Moody Radio 89.3. This is Mornings with Eric and Bridget.
And here we are on the eighth day of April, yesterday marking 6 months since Hamas's brutal attack on Israel. And sometimes there's that mark on the calendar where everything changes after it. How have things remained the same or changed? We're going to talk about that today with Dr. Susan Michael. She is director of the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem. Dr. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here.
Oh, it's great to be with you again.
Can you just give us maybe, if it's even possible, a little understanding of how things changed from the 6th to the 7th to where we are today, 6 months down the road? What is Israel like? What was it like then as opposed to what it's like now?
Well, on October the 6th, the people of Israel were really quite upbeat and feeling very good about life. I say that as a cliche, but they were feeling very positive. They were in peace. They had signed peace agreements with major Muslim countries, and they were in the possibility of even more, that there was hopes of a regional peace in the Middle East. They were leading the world in innovation and technology, in volunteerism and humanitarian aid, and people were beginning to praise Israel. And the people of Israel were just feeling very positive, you know, about the future. And then on October the 7th, it all changed as they suffered the most horrific and barbaric and vicious attack on their citizens just for being Israeli since the Holocaust. And if that wasn't bad enough, the wave of anti-Semitism that went around the world, and immediately there were rallies in the streets around the world in support of this horrible attack on them. And this was very sobering. It was actually traumatic for the people. The nation is really in trauma right now, feeling that the entire world just turned against them at this most vulnerable and hurtful moment when you should be consoling someone and at least reaching out in friendship. And so the Israel, the nation has changed. I don't think it'll ever be the same. They had such security in the security of the IDF. They really relied on the army. They felt protected. And here on that morning, the army wasn't there. It was such a terrible breach of the security and of the border. And so now they're feeling very vulnerable. And on top of it all, we now have threats from Iran of direct attack on Israel. This is a very, very difficult time for the people of Israel, probably their most difficult in 75 years of existence.
And we know war is brutal, and there are things that happen within war that, you know, just it's terrible to even think about. And on top of that list is the hostages. I mean, sometimes we get lost in the fact that there are people who are still being held 6 months later. Can you tell us where that stands right now? Many are calling, can we at least have an agreement to have them released? But of course, that hasn't transpired just yet. But do you have any information you can bring us on just the hostages and what we know about them?
Well, I want to comment on your first comment about the brutality of war. Mm-hmm. My father was a World War II vet, and I'm very aware of what the Allied forces, led primarily by the Americans and the British, what we had to do to Europe, particularly Germany, in order to bring down the evil regime of the Nazis. We destroyed entire cities. And that is what it takes when you have an evil regime. And then you have in Gaza, they're not just an evil regime, but they have built hundreds of miles of tunnels and they're hiding underground. Israel is up against a level of urban warfare that nobody, no army, no country has ever had to conduct. And so they are really doing a great job in a very, very, very dangerous situation and extreme situation. Now, the hostages only make that more complex. They're going after an evil regime that's holding hostages, their own citizens, and they don't want to harm the hostages. They don't want to just bomb indiscriminately. They have their own people in the area. And so this has made their job so much harder. I don't think that they have any news on the hostages. There's over 100. The body count may end up 130 hostages still being held in Gaza. They don't know how many of them are still alive. They don't know exactly where they are. They know that they've been there. They know that they've moved them before the Israeli army has reached locations. More than likely, the evil regime leaders are hiding behind the hostages. And this makes it even more difficult for Israel to just go in and finish the job.
Well, as part of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, I'm sure that you've been impacted. But how have you been impacted since the attacks?
Well, we knew many of the people there in the Gaza envelope area. That's what they call the area right outside the Gaza border, because we had been working there for 10 years placing portable bomb shelters, because every day there were rockets launched from Gaza and the people lived such a horrible existence, having to be in shelter within 15 seconds. So we've been very, very involved in that area, placing bomb shelters and school playgrounds and outdoor community centers and parks and places where there were no shelters. So we actually had just taken 600 Christians down to that area and held a solidarity rally on October the 5th. Within 36 hours, the mayor of the regional council there that had greeted us and spoken to our meeting was one of the first registered fatalities. Mm-hmm. So we've been very involved at the people level in that area. And as soon as it happened, we were following up with all of them. What do you need? And we are helping with many of the families that have been evacuated from those towns. They've been living in hotels and on kibbutzim, and we've been helping them with food and whatever their needs were. The children don't have schools because they're not living in their communities now. So we've been helping supply school books and all for the children living in these communities. And so we've been helping wherever we can. I'll tell you right now, one of the major needs in Israel is for trauma counseling. All the country is traumatized. But then we have those that were really on the front lines, extremely traumatized. And so we've been helping to beef up counseling services and helping counseling services that already exist to expand to meet this growing need. So we have been working night and day in Israel and then around the world. So in our branch offices, like I'm here in the United States, we have been doing what we can, writing letters to our governments, participating in rallies in the streets, educating, doing what we can to help people understand what Israel's up against and the importance of our support.
And as the war grinds on and, you know, people hear increasing numbers of fatalities and the images on our screens, it's horrific to see what's happening there. But what should we know about it, though? What are we not understanding when it comes to just, I guess, what Israel is up against, but also what we may not understand here in the U.S.? Because, of course, we've been the biggest ally, but some of that is waning.
Well, you have to understand that you cannot trust the number of fatalities that are being put out there by Hamas. And they're the only information source we have at this point. We're not really going to know until the war is over and other international bodies have gone in and brought some accountability. So don't trust the numbers. Secondly, we have to understand there were 30,000 Hamas fighters in Gaza. So if you tell me there were 30,000 fatalities, probably 90% of them are Hamas fighters. Now, yes, there are always those tragic incidences where a civilian may be killed. And we just had, Israel had a terrible mistake where they accidentally bombed aid workers from a foreign aid organization, an aid organization that even worked in partnership with Israel. It was a horrific mistake. And immediately Israel did an investigation and they have suspended a colonel and a major that were involved in that decision to fire the missile. So we have to understand there are always those mistakes, but But Hamas rejoices in civilian casualties. Okay, mm-hmm. they had celebrations out in the streets and were passing out candy. Israel does an investigation and they apologize for it and they really bemoan it because they have a high level of value for human life. So those are some of the things we have to remind ourselves every day as we see these numbers coming out of Gaza.
What can we do? What can our friends do as they listen to this to get involved or to have some kind of an impact on what's happening?
Well, our organization's response after October the 7th has been threefold. So I would encourage all of your listeners. Number one is to pray. We have prayer going on 24/7 from all around the world. They can find out about our prayer initiatives at our ICEJUSA.org website. Secondly is to provide practical assistance to the people of Israel. And I don't mean just writing a check to somebody that's going to deliver, but our organization, when we deliver the practical assistance, whether it's a new ambulance or it's a medical bike or it's food for an evacuated family, we do it as Christians with the message that we represent millions of Christians around the world who love them and are praying for them and who wanted to bless them with this help. So it comes with real comfort and encouragement to the people in addition to just the practical assistance. The third prong of our response has been to stand up for Israel wherever you are. And that may be on social media. It might be writing a letter to the editor of your local newspaper. It might mean writing to the local president of a university that's allowing anti-Semitism on their campus. It may be signing on a letter that's going to President Biden, telling him to stop pressuring Israel to pull out prematurely. So rallying in support of Israel is a key part. The Jewish community in America needs to see us. They need to hear us. They need to know that they have friends because they are feeling very alone and basically scared. Anti-Semitism is rising in our country at such a shocking rate that the Jewish community needs to know, no, you have friends and we will stand with you.
Well, we have been talking with Dr. Susan Michael, who is with ICEJ. And of course, we do have a link to them that you can find on our website, ericandbridget.org. So you can find some of their prompts to know how to pray, how to provide assistance, and again, stand up for Israel. That's their three-prong response that you've encouraged us with today. Susan, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Great to be with you.